Sehingga di hari Jaya Raga Nagara Tunda di hari Kau hujan kala Di raut hari Gopi Jalvaya Jivaya Dhani Yashoda Nandana Vaja Jaya Nandana Yashoda Nandana Vaja Jana Rangana Yana Natiya Pamakahi Yana Natiya Pamakahi Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parvajakacharya, Ashto Chatursata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Prem Sekuho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Radhakun, Guru Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Bhakti Devi, Jamuna Devi, Tulsi Moharani Ki Jai, all glories unto the assembled devotees, all glories unto the assembled devotees, all glories unto their merciful lordship, Sri Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Hare Krishna. Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya, Vitale, Shrimati Bhakti, Vedanta, Swami, Nityananda, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from the first canto, chapter 15, in text number 49. Chapter 15 is the Pandavas retire timely, and Vidurōpi parityajya Vidurōpi parityajya Prabhāse dehamātmanā
Prabhāse dehamātmanā
Krishna veshena tachchitā
Krishna veshena tachchitā
Pitribhisvakshat kashyam yayau Vidurapi parityaja.
Vidurapi parityaja.
Prabhase deham atmana.
Prabhase deham atmana.
Krishna veshena tachchita.
Krishna veshena tachchita.
Vichurbi svakshayam yayo. Others can chant.
Vidurapi parityaja.
Vidurapi parityaja.
Prabhase deham atmana.
Prabhase deham atmana.
Krishna veshena tachchita.
Krishna veshena tachchita.
Vittivisa svayam yayo.
Vittivisa svayam yayo. Vidura, Vidura, the uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Api, also, Parityaja, after quitting the body, Prabhase, in the place of pilgrimage at Prabhas, Deham Atmana, his body, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Aveshena, being absorbed in that thought, Tat, his, Chitta, thoughts and actions, Pitribhi, along with the residents of Pitriloka, Svakshayam, his own abode, Yayao, departed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vidura, while on pilgrimage, left his body at Prabhas. Because he was absorbed in thought of Krishna, he was received by the denizens of the Pitriloka planet, where he returned to his original post. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the Pandavas and Vidura is that the Pandavas are eternal associates of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, whereas Vidura is one of the administrative demigods in charge of the Pitriloka planet and is known as Yamaraj. Men are afraid of Yamaraj because it is he only who awards punishment to the miscreants of the material world. But those who are devotees of the Lord have nothing to fear from him. To the devotees, he is a cordial friend, but to the non-devotees, he is fear personified. As we have already discussed, it is understood that Yamaraj was cursed by Manduka Muni to be degraded as a Shudra, and therefore Vidura was an incarnation of Yamaraj. As an eternal servitor of the Lord, he displayed his devotional activities very ardently and lived a life of a pious man, so much so that a materialistic man like Dhritarashtra also got salvation by his instruction. So by his pious activities in the devotional service of the Lord, he was able to always remember the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus he became washed of all contamination of a Shudra-born life. At the end, he was again received by the denizens of Pitriloka and posted in his original positions. Position. Okay, I'm going to... wait a minute. I'm going to stop here and we're going to resume. I just wanted to go over... okay. So we're speaking of the saintly Vidura, one of the three biological sons of Srila Vyasadeva, along with Pandu and Dhritarashtra. But as explained here, he had been cursed by Manduka Muni. I see Manduka Muni also, is also called sometimes Mandavya Rishi, the same person. But what happened was, how did that happen that he got cursed? Well, he was Yamaraj when he got cursed. He got cursed. So what happened, the state police caught some thieves that were hiding with the stolen property on stolen goods on the property of at the hermitage of Manduka Muni. And the Muni was absorbed in his sadhana. He was meditating and he didn't pay much attention to the police, but they took him also. And the punishment was to be being put to death by being impaled on a stake. So they did that to all the thieves, and all the thieves left their bodies, but they also did it to the Rishi, but the Rishi didn't leave his body. And then at the last minute, the king, apparently somebody informed him, yeah, we took that, the yogi also. And the king said, what? And he ran there, and he begged forgiveness. And of course, I mean, the Muni was like a very angry that this had happened. You know, so he actually, through his mystic meditation, he was able to go where he wanted to at will. And he went to Pitriloka, where Yamaraj resides, Yamaloka. He went to where Yamaraj was. Just like yogis can do that. Just like even in 1960, Srila Prabhupada published, what? Easy Journey to Other Planets. You know? And these days, there's a lot of, you know, in the news, there's a lot of talk. Oh, they're finally, the government's finally acknowledging that they know that there have been, you know, people from other planets visiting us and things like that. Well, anyway, the demigods have been going to other planets for eons, since time immemorial, you know. So anyway, he went to where Yama was, and he said, "For what reason did you sentence me to be put to death in this manner?" And Yamaraj told him, "When you were a child, you tortured a lot of insects and bees with sharp straws. You know, you were torturing them like that, and that made." Manduka Muni more, he was livid. He said, when I was an innocent child, I did something like that, and now you are putting me to death for it? I curse you to become a Shudra on earth, you know, like that. And so this is how Yamaraj had to take a little break, apparently, a little vacation from his administrative duties and come down to planet Earth. Of course, I mean, it was actually a blessing. Why? Because he got to participate in the eternal pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram and the Pandavas, and he was their beloved uncle, and a great Vaishnava, great saintly person. So it's a wonderful story. Vidura's wife was a lady named Sulava. She was a very devoted Vaishnavi. And when Lord Krishna visited Hastinapur, Prabhupada tells us in the Bhagavatam here, he was an emissary of the Pandavas, you know. But Duryodhan requested him to stay at his palace, but he did not fulfill that request. Instead, he chose to stay at Vidura's home and accept simple meals there, you know. And
So I thought it would be interesting to go into how it was, how Vidura actually took birth as the son of Vyas. How did that happen? Well, that started out earlier with Maharaj Shantanu, who was he was actually the ruler of the planet at that time, and he was from the Surya Vamsha, the dynasty of the sun god. So this was in Dwapar Yuga, but it was shortly before Krishna appeared. So over 5,000 years ago. So what happened was Maharaj Shantanu met a beautiful goddess, and it turned out to be Ganga Devi. And he immediately fell in love with her, and she had one condition for marriage. The condition was that you should never, no matter what I do, you can never chastise me with harsh words or question why I'm doing this activity, because if you do, I'm just going to leave immediately. Well, that was her condition. So he agreed, because he didn't have much choice. You know. So what happened was they conceived 7 children kind of in a row. But unfortunately, as soon as the children were born, Ganga Devi threw them in the river and they drowned. And he couldn't even say a word. I mean, he was like, his heart was shocked, you know. But he couldn't say a word because he didn't want her to leave. He was very attached because she was very extraordinary, a goddess, after all. But then when the eighth, so these were all sons. When the eighth son was born, he was like, he had it, you know. So he stopped her and he chastised her. And she gave birth, and that son was called Devarata. And she left, and she took the child with her. So there was the king, you know, forlorn and upset. But he lived for, you know, several years. And then, so how did that happen? Why did that happen, that she was killing those kids? It turned out that they were called the 8 Vasus. So they had been cursed by Vasishtha Muni. They went to his hermitage, his ashram, and he wasn't home, but his prized possession, his Kamadenu cow, his wish-fulfilling cow, Nandini, was there. And the Vasus were there with their wives. And one of the wives said, "Wow, this cow is so, I have to have this cow to give to my friend. She's the daughter of a sage, and I have to have this cow. Please get this cow for me." So they stole Nandini, which is a horrible thing to do, to steal from a great rishi, Vasishtha Muni, my gosh, you know. So so Vasishtha lives on Mount Meru with Nandini, his cow. And when he returned, he could just discern by his meditation who took the whole show. He could see it just like he's watching a screen or something, seeing a movie. He can see exactly what happened, and he knew who took. So therefore, he just cursed them. He said, "I curse the Vasus to be born on earth as ordinary mortals, and the one Vasu, one of the 8 who actually took Nandini, was called Dyu. It's spelled D-Y-U, Dyu. He has to stay a very long time on earth, and he cannot marry or produce any offspring." So in other words, the idea was that they have such an enjoying spirit thinking they could just do anything they wanted, that now this one vasu is really going to suffer a long, hard life without any sense enjoyment. So when the vasus heard this curse, they immediately ran to, apparently Ganga Devi was their friend, and they begged her, please, you have to go to earth, you have to help us with this, you have to just kill us as soon as we're born down there. And so that's what she did. She killed 7 of them, and the 8th one, who had been Diu, now took birth as Devaruta. And Devaruta, we know later, his name changed to Bhishma. So it was who we generally in Mahabharata called Grandfather Bhishma. You know, although he really never had any offspring, he was always referred to like that. So so years later, Ganga returned, and her son, Devaruta, the future Bhishma, had learned all celestial weaponry, and he learned the Vedas from Vasishtha Muni, so he was extraordinarily qualified and learned in all things. And she left her son with Maharaj Shantanu, and she returned to the heavenly planets. And Maharaj Shantanu bonded very nicely with his son. They bonded well. So then, what happened? Shantanu, Maharaj, the emperor of the planet, fell in love with Satyavati. And Satyavati's father had a condition for marriage. The condition for her marriage: the son born of my daughter should be the next king of the world, and no one else can become your successor. So as soon as Maharaj Shantanu heard this, his heart just fell, because he didn't want to do that to Devaruta. He didn't want it. It was always planned. Devaruta will be the next king after me, and he's so highly qualified. It's perfect. And then this happened. So he was very morose, and when Devaruta found out the reason, that's when he took his great vow. He went to the father of Satyavati and promised never to marry. I'm taking a vow of brahmacharya, and I will never have offspring. I will never claim the throne myself. Any children that your daughter has will have claim to the throne. And he promised that. He made a great vow. It was very difficult for a Kshatriya to be able to take a vow like that, extraordinarily so. And, you know, the demigods showered flowers. It was a huge, huge incident, notable incident. And so they got married, and Satyavati gave birth to 2 sons, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. So Chitrangada, you know, they grew up nicely, and as they grew, their elder half-brother, Bhishma, was guiding them, helping them, and teaching them like that. But what happened was Chitrangada passed away as a young man, got in a fight with a Gandharva who had the same name as him, envious that he had the same name, and they got in a long... It took several days, this fight, so they were pretty equally matched, but in the end, unfortunately, Satyavati's son, Chitrangada, passed, left his body. And then when he died, (clears throat) Oh, well, what happened? Before he passed, Shantanu had enthroned Chitrangada, so he actually was the emperor, because Shantanu was elderly at that time, and he left for the forest to perform penance. So when Chitrangada passed, he was the emperor, so that emperorship passed on to his younger brother when he died, Vichitravirya. And so he became the world emperor, although he was still very young, and so Bhishma ruled the kingdom until he matured. So then the hope of the whole planet was on the shoulders of this young boy, Vichitravirya. And when he became of marriageable age, I just know that, in the times of the Mahabharata, it seems like a lot of times they got married pretty young, like 16, 18 years, because Subhadra and Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, he was married at age 16. You know, he had two wives at that time, so seems like they got married pretty young. So what happened was, Bhishma heard of a Svayamvara of three sisters, and he decided that he would go and get those three sisters so that for Vichitravirya to marry. What was their names, Prabhu? Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. So he did that, and he had to put up a huge fight. Like, Shalva was there. Shalva had wanted to marry one of the sisters, and nobody could check Bhishma. He was like a great warrior. And so he got the three sisters, brought them back. One of them complained that actually she was in love with Shalva and she didn't want to stay here. He let her go back to Shalva. So there was the two, Ambika and Ambalika, and they lived actually for 7 years happily with Vichitravirya, but with no issue, with no children. And then what happened was, unfortunately, Vichitravirya became ill. It says tuberculosis, I think it says, and he passed. So here, wow, there's no heir to the throne for the whole planet. So what Sachavati, what was she to do, you know? So then she recalled, yes, when I was a young Kumari, I was on the river, and because helping my father, the fisherman, I would ply the boat back and forth. And one day a great sage, Parashara Muni, got on my boat. He immediately fell in love with me, wanted to procreate with me. And I said, no, I can't. I'm a virgin girl, and I could never do that. My father would never approve. This is horrible. And he said, no, don't worry. I'll make it so that you still are a virgin. I don't know how he did that, but mystic yoga. And he created a foggy atmosphere so nobody saw. And she had, who did she have? She had Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Amazing. And Parashara himself was the grandson of Vashishta. So Vyas is the son of Parashara, great grandson of Vashishta Muni. But Vyas had, apparently he had like matured quickly, and he's an incarnation, actually literary incarnation of God, so Shakti Vaishavatar. So he told her, my dear mother, whenever you need me, just think of me, and I will immediately do your bidding, whatever you want me to do. I'll be here to help you. So So at this time she said, ah, this is, I don't know what to do because, well, first of all, she tried to get Bhishma to procreate with the two ladies. She said, this is proper, you're the brother of their deceased husband, this is the way things are done. He said, I cannot do it, I've taken a vow, nothing in the universe is going to make me break my vow. So that was out of the question. Then the only thing she could think of, I'm going to have to ask my son, Srila Vyasadeva, to come and procreate with these ladies, to keep, carry on the dynasty, to carry on the planet, and be emperor of the planet. So that's what she did. She called on, prayed to her son, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. He immediately came, and she told him what needed to be done. So Vyas, the first sister that Vyas met with, was very, she wouldn't even look at him. She kept her eyes just covered the whole time. She had heard, you know, he's a sage, and the sages, they look a little wild, their hair may be matted, they haven't, you know, maybe they haven't bathed lately, who knows, you know. People get misconceptions. But she had you know, a lot of fears, and she thought, she just kept her eyes closed. She said, it's better because if I look and if I get frightened, I'm going to run out of the place, and that'll be more offensive than just keeping my eyes closed and staying. So she kept her eyes closed. But because of that, when the child was born, the child was born blind, and that was Dhritarashtra. And then the other lady, conceived Pandu, and then they sent in the maidservant, and her name is Parashrami, I think, and Parashrami, beautiful name, and Parashrami dealt with Vyas very sweetly and kindly, properly, and you know, politely, and took care of him nicely. So he was very pleased, and her child was Yamaraj taking birth as Vidura in a Shudra. Because the servant was Shudrani, but of course the father was an incarnation of God. I mean, it's all interesting combination. So, of course, the very saintly, wonderful Vidura was the offspring. So that's how that happened, that the three brothers, Vidura, Pandu, and Dhritarashtra, happened to have Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas as their biological father. And so I'm going to finish this where we left off in the purport. The demigods are also associates of the Lord without personal touch, whereas the direct associates of the Lord are in constant personal touch with Him. The Lord and His personal associates incarnate in many universes without cessation. The Lord remembers them all, whereas the associates forget, due to their being very minute parts and parcels of the Lord. They are apt to forget such incidents due to being infinitesimal. This is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 5. So, chapter 4, verse 5. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Bahuni Me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjuna Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natvam Veta Parantapa. The personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. O subduer of the enemy. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, part of the purport, devotees like Arjun are constant companions of the Lord. And whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjun is one of these devotees. And in this verse, it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivasvan, Arjun, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjun is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjun could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjun is addressed herein as the mighty hero, who could subdue his enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means he never forgets himself, even though he is in the material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjun. Although Arjun is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjun could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjun are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Sat-Chit-Ananda body. He is Advaita, which means there's no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because of the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord. Yeah, the demons never understand. Just like when Vidura was on the planet, he was always giving excellent and wise counsel to his brothers, especially Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was frankly bewildered by his eldest son. He was kowtowing to his eldest son, fulfilling the son's every desire, and the son's desires were oftentimes not in the best interest of anybody, you know. Oftentimes, actually, especially, you know, when before the battle of Kurukshetra, Vidura was heavily counseling to not do this fighting, and Duryodhan would scream at him and offend him. And even though he was his elder uncle, you know, he would say, "You always favor the Pandavas, and you never are on my side. You know, get out of here." He would be very offensive to Vidura. What to speak, even when Lord Krishna personally came to try to obtain a peace truce between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, Duryodhana wanted to throw him in jail. He told his guards, "Throw him in jail! Get him out of here." No, I don't think so. This is Lord Krishna. So, just like Shakespeare says, the fool doth think himself a wise man, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. So, Vidura, even though he was Yamaraj, a great Mahajan, he had to take birth as a Shudra on planet Earth, you know, because of being cursed. So, so this happens. And if anybody has any questions or comments regarding this verse, we can take them now. Otherwise, I have a few Prabhupada stories I'd like to tell.
Who cursed Yamaraj?
But I didn't get the question, so if you could repeat it.
Who cursed Yamaraj? But Govind Maharaj.
Who cursed Yamaraj?
Who cursed him? Who was asking? His name was Prabhupada's calling him Manduka Muni here in the Bhagavatam, but he actually his name is also Mandavya Rishi. He was a Rishi. Who cursed him? We were explaining that at the beginning of class. He cursed him because Yama, somehow this Rishi was thrown in with a bunch of thieves and ended up being cursed to die, and they actually impaled him with a stake. But he didn't die because he was a great Rishi. So he went through his meditating, he went to directly to Yamaraj and asked him, "Why did you curse me? I mean, why did I have to die like this?" And Yama explained, "Because you had, as a child, you had tortured insects, bees and ants with a sharp straw." So the sage was so upset that as an innocent child, he had done something like that, and now he was being put to death, so he cursed Yama to take birth as a Shudra on planet Earth. So that's how that happened. While his mother was a Shudrani, but his father was Srila Vyasadeva, so it was actually a blessing because he got to take part in Lord Krishna's personal pastimes and Krishna Leela, you know. So it was a blessing, of course, you know. I was reading this. I got this from His Holiness Giriraj Swami's book on Juhu. They were at the last pandal that Prabhupada attended. Was in Juhu, and somebody asked, "What is the importance of health in life? How do you advise people to maintain health? And how does it connect to your mission?" That was a man's question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada at the time, by the way, this was 1977, he was extraordinarily sick, but somehow He was answering all these questions. So Prabhupada's answer, where is health? Prabhupada challenged. First of all, you have to understand that however healthy you may be, you must die. Then what problem have you solved? Janma mrtyu jara vyadi, dukkha darshanam, dukkha doshanu darshanam. Krishna says, it is not my manufacture. However you may try to remain very healthy, nature's law is that you must die. How can you help yourself? After all, you have to meet death, janma mrtyu jara vyadi. So long as you have this material body, there's no question of health. You must suffer. You may be a very great scientist, but nature's law must act. Prakrite kriyamanani gunait karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Prabhupada says, foolish persons, ahankara vimudhatma, bewildered by false ego, think, I am improving health, I am improving this, I am doing that. He is improving nothing. He's completely under the clutches of material nature. He cannot do anything independently. This is the law of nature. And someone asked, how can ISKCON be considered pure, although some members may have deviated from spiritual principles? So Srila Prabhupada answered this. When a young female disciple, one of his lady disciples, asked Prabhupada, why does Krishna have the external energy? I don't understand, because it's so negative. And Lord Krishna is pure. There should not be any impurities coming from him, such as the external energy or maya that binds the living entities to birth and death. So I don't understand, why are these impure things coming from Krishna? So Prabhupada answered this girl, his disciple. Suppose you are a very nice girl, but because your body passes some urine or stool, does it mean that you are bad? In the same way, ISKCON remains pure, even though some impure elements may pass through and out of it. So Prabhupada designed ISKCON, and his sincere followers strive to perpetuate it. Perpetuating ISKCON's legacy of purity from within ISKCON is an important part of expressing our gratitude and love for Srila Prabhupada. In April of 1976, there was a morning walk in Vrindavan. And a devotee asked, Srila Prabhupada, people take objection when we preach sometimes. They say, have you seen God or Krishna? If you haven't, how can you speak about him? So Srila Prabhupada's answer, your grandfather may have passed away before you were born, but you may inherit his money. You have not seen him, you rascal, so why are you anxious to take his money? You just have to learn to capture the rascals. So The same, some like the same question, have you seen God? Or Prabhupada would answer it in so many different ways, like, yes, I am seeing Krishna at every moment, he would say, you know, or you can also see, you know, he would answer it this in many different ways. Question to Srila Prabhupada, why do we have so many temples if God is everywhere? All right, that's a valid question. Srila Prabhupada, air is everywhere, but we still need a fan to feel it. Yes, it is. This is a little subtle story. I mean, this Pushkar Prabhu directly heard this, so I got this story from Pushkar Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada was angry because some of the devotees and sannyasis were not following carefully enough. Okay? And this is Prabhupada's quote. I told them not to dry the knife on their throat. So that's something to meditate upon. Not to dry the knife on their throat. Dry it. Well,
a knife
that you cut with. Don't dry the knife on your throat. Like, say if you have a knife that's wet and you have a towel here, you can dry it, you know? But don't dry it on your throat. If you dry it on your throat, you'll end up cutting your throat and dying. So in other words, I think Prabhupada means you have to be very careful in your execution of Krishna consciousness. You see, they were not following carefully enough. These devotees. So that's who he said it to. People that were not following carefully enough. So I told them not to dry the knife on their throat. So in other words, you have to be very careful in Krishna consciousness. It's a razor's edge, they say too. You know, means we have to follow strictly. We can't think I can just cut this corner once. Or I can do this or that, you know. We have to follow strictly means. Yeah, very, and Achyutananda Prabhu, who lives here, 50 years ago, before he ever went to India, because he was one of the first devotees that went to India, you know. And he said, remember he wrote that the first songbook, and he was actually famous in India at that time for his bhajans. So anyway, before he ever went to India in the late 60s, he asked Prabhupada, where do you live in India? And Srila Prabhupada answered him, Vrindavan. And Achyutananda asked, what is it like? And Prabhupada answered, oh, you can become more Krishna conscious in one day in Vrindavan than 10 years in America. You can become more Krishna conscious in one day in Vrindavan than 10 years in America. Well, the thing is, we have to... What Lord Chaitanya said, Mora Mana Vrindavana, my mind is Vrindavan. So if we're meditating or praying to Lord Chaitanya, then apparently it means that we can be in Vrindavan. We have to kind of come to certain realizations. We want to be in Vrindavan too. So by capturing Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, begging for his mercy, then maybe he'll give us that blessing that we can be in Vrindavan also at all times. So I guess We'll just end here. Srila Prabhupada's letter, 1973. Please always try to remember me by my teachings. We shall always be together. Just like I have written in the first publication of the Bhagavatam, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and the disciple lives with him. Because I have always served my Guru Maharaj and followed his teachings, I am now even never separated from him. And then in 1975, Vishal Prabhu, who used to live here, his daughter was born in Vrindavan, his first daughter. And Prabhupada asked him, Srila Prabhupada, I understand from my God brothers and God sisters, and I've read in your books, that you may leave us sometime. Would you please name my daughter before you leave? Prabhupada said, my spiritual master has never left me. But later on, he named the daughter. He gave her the name Vrindavaneshwari. And Yamuna Devi, Srila Prabhupada, how many times were you with your Guru Maharaj? Since I met him, I have never been away from him, not even for 1 second. And in a letter, 1967, from Vrindavan, never think that I am absent from you. Physical presence is not essential. Presence by message or hearing is real touch. Lord Krishna is present by his message, which was delivered 5,000 years ago. We always feel the presence of our past acharyas simply by their immutable instructions. And the last one here, the best way to be with Srila Prabhupada is by service and separation. Let us meet by Sankirtan, Prabhupada said. I do not feel separation from my Guru Maharaj when I am engaged in his service. His pictures give me sufficient strength. To serve the spiritual master's word is more important than to serve him physically. We have a question online. Okay.
That's for you,
Judy. Where are we starting? Out loud. Out loud. In silence. Okay. Who is this speaking? It's Pushkar. Oh, yeah. If it's Pushkar told me that story. You told me that story about 3 or 4 times, Prabhu. Not just once. It's the truth, right? Thank you very much. And Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Many devotees, Boruna Prabhu, Bhagavati, Mother Bhagavati, they appreciated your class.
Yeah.